You're listening to James H. for Life, Episode 18, Your Business Continuation Plan, Securing It with Life Insurance. Thanks for tuning in. You're listening to James H. for Life, your premier podcast for all things life, disability, and long-term care insurance related. And I wanted to touch base today for all of our business owners out there who are looking into their business continuation plan. So imagine you're a small business owner and you're looking to protect yourself and your business. You know, you would have considered already, you know, your general liability insurance, inland marine, commercial auto, so on and so forth. What none of these policies protect against, though, are the owners or the partners in a business losing control of the business legally if something were to happen to any of the owners. So imagine for a moment that you were to become disabled or you were to die. For one reason or another, you could no longer run your business the way that you want it to. So what would happen to your business in that particular instance? You know, if an owner of a business generally will die, generally their spouse or their next of kin, they assume all the legal rights of a business. Now, that doesn't necessarily sound like a horrible thing to begin with. I mean, you know, if you die, then, you know, your wife or whoever would assume legal control of that business. But consider this. It doesn't sound like a big deal until you factor in that maybe your business partners, maybe they don't want to deal with your relatives as far as how they run the business. I mean, consider this. If you were, you know, if you have a business and you die and your spouse or someone who knows absolutely nothing of your business, be it a restaurant, an insurance agency, a cleaning service, whatever, I mean, they would be like the worst person in the world to have involved in the day-to-day operations. You may not even want them to just work for you because maybe that just isn't their cup of tea. Well, the thing is, if you were to die or become disabled and you can't participate, you know, in the business operations any longer, then legal control can fall to the heirs. Meaning, even if they don't know anything about the business, they can now, if they want to, step in and have the same proportional control of the business that you did. And a lot of people may not necessarily want that. It wouldn't be the best thing for the company, you know. So you have to think in terms of this when it comes to your business continuation plan, because death and permanent disability are just that. They're permanent. You can't do the work any longer. And you need a way to make sure that the business will remain healthy and functional. You know, because at the end of the day, I mean, every business owner, for the most part that I know of, their goal is to grow the company so that it's not a one-man operation. So when you are successful and you do that, you have an entire company's worth of people that depend on you to make good decisions, to make sure that their livelihood isn't interrupted. The last thing anybody wants to hear is the company's going down, they have to start laying people off or cutting back pay or hours or benefits or things like that. That's not going to help the company, and it's inevitably not going to help the family of the owners, because then they're also going to be losing that income. So you really should be thinking in terms of not just protecting yourself from the point of view of being sued, because you definitely don't want your assets to be seized, be it personal or business, but you also need to think in terms of, okay, well, in the event that something does happen to any of the owners or partners, what's our business continuation plan? One thing that I will very often discuss with people is a buy-sell agreement. Now, myself personally, I don't write buy-sell agreements. I'm not a lawyer. So of course I'm not going to do the legal framework for everything. However, what I do is I fund buy-sell agreements with life and disability insurance. All right, so let's get into a little bit about what a buy-sell agreement is. So essentially, a buy-sell agreement is an agreement between all of the partners in a business on how much each of their shares of the business is worth, and it guarantees a fair price for each share. So, for a quick example, and I'll break it down a little bit further, for easy math, I want you to consider four siblings. They open a restaurant together, and they all own an equal share of 25% of the business. The business is now worth $1 million, so they're not doing too bad. It's a modest business. It's worth about $1 million. Therefore, if any sibling were to die or wanted to be bought out of it, each sibling would have to be paid $250,000 to get out of the business. So consider this. One of the siblings dies. So three of the four siblings are left to run this business. And we'll also assume, just for sake of ease, that everybody's married. So of the deceased sibling, the legal rights now fall to their spouse. The spouse either doesn't want anything to do with the business because that's not what they want to do with their lives, or the other siblings, they don't want that spouse involved. So what do? You have to buy that spouse out. You have to come up with $250,000 in order to get that spouse out of the picture and allow the three remaining siblings to retain total control of the business. That's essentially how a buy-sell agreement works. The legal documentation will spell out the terms of the agreement as far as amount to be paid and everything that goes within that. Where I come in is where you fund it with life insurance. So I'm going to focus today primarily on funding it with life insurance in the event of a death. But you definitely want to consider every business owner funding a buy-sell agreement with life insurance, because what that does is it solidifies your ability to execute the buy-sell agreement. All right. I mean, think about this. This is your baby. This is your probably biggest project you will ever undertake when you open a business, and especially when you're successful with it and you're looking to make it grow. You can't leave all of your years of sweat, blood, and tears uninsured that somebody else could take control of your business and run it into the ground. Somebody that has absolutely no qualification or ability, or business really, in running the operation. They're just doing it because legally it fell to them and they can, and they figured, why not? It's not always the best business move. I mean, it could just mess things up. So using a life insurance plan, it doesn't matter if it's a term plan or a permanent plan, to mitigate that risk is highly, highly, highly advisable, because then no matter what happens, you just completely solidified your business continuation plan, in the event of death or disability. So you definitely need to be considering this. So let's talk a little bit about how life insurance can help your small business. So I already covered to an extent, essentially the life insurance is it's a funding mechanism. It's affordable. I mean, think about this. If you have a business owner, many of whom are going to be age 55 years old and under, assuming like everyone's healthy, life insurance isn't going to be a major overhead expense. So, I mean, as far as wondering, oh my gosh, well, how much is this going to cost? You can get hundreds of thousands of dollars for coverage for less than $100 a month per owner. I mean, that's very easy to do. I mean, you can go as high as you want, depending on what your particular objectives are. But if your first concern is, okay, what's this going to cost? Because every business owner comes down to the bottom line: what's it going to cost me? I understand that. Believe me, any cost is going to be worth it, and it's not going to be as much as you think. Actually, according to a study that I was reading, I believe it's by Lemra, they actually said that the majority of people overestimate the cost of life insurance by three times its actual cost. So if the policy is actually going to cost you $40 a month, a lot of people, they assume it's going to cost them $120 a month. It's just there's this disconnect on how much life insurance is really going to cost somebody, and the majority of the time, it's not going to be anywhere near the amount that you think it is. So I would definitely consider this as your funding option, because the other thing is, yeah, you're going to spend a little bit of money over the 20, 30 or so years that you have this insurance, but it completely removed the risk of having to scramble to come up with, $250,000, $500,000, $750,000, $1 million to fund a buyout of the other partner so that you can retain control of your business. I mean, the cost and the benefits, it's not even really worth discussing, just because it is just that valuable. Like, as a business owner, I know for myself, I would, if I had other partners that I needed to worry about in my personal business, we would be covering one another hands down, because I'm not going to allow this business to fall into somebody's hands who does not know anything about this particular business and could really mess the entire operation up. So believe me when I say my business is my livelihood. I'm going to secure its future in every way that I can. So I would encourage you to do the same. So with that, actually, we're going to get into in just a moment, how much is it going to cost? And I briefly touched on that. But then I wanted to focus in a little bit on, well, what if you're the only owner in the business? What if you're at the sole proprietorship? Is it really something that you need to consider? And I'm also going to talk about who should be paying for this, just to give you the best tax advantage status as you can, just so that it doesn't come back to bite you in the rear, God forbid, if you ever needed to utilize this. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. You're listening to James H. for Life. Welcome back. You're listening to James H. for Life, and we're talking about how to fund a buy-sell agreement for your business continuation plan via life insurance. And so before the break, I mentioned we were going to talk a little bit about how much it was going to cost, who should pay for it, and what you should do if you're maybe the only business owner in a particular entity, why, still doing this could be beneficial for you. So I wanted to give a few reasons for all that. But first, so let's talk about the cost. First and foremost, cost, cost, cost. It all comes down to the bottom line with a business owner. So you don't want to necessarily become insurance poor, but you also don't want to underinsure yourself, especially with something as valuable and as crucial to your life as your business. So when it comes to that, it's going to be based off of a few things. I'm not going to get into it all here, because I actually have a separate post on my blog at jameshforlife.com where I deal with what a little bit more in detail what goes into your rate for life insurance. But I'm going to just brush on it briefly here. So with any life insurance company, it doesn't matter who you are applying through, the price you're going to pay is based off of three main things. First is your age, the second is your health, and then the third is how much coverage do you want and how long do you want it to last. And so naturally, the younger you are, the less expensive it is. The better your health is, the less expensive it is. And then finally, it goes without saying, but I'll say it anyway. If you want more coverage, you pay more, and if you want your coverage to last longer, you'll also pay more. So it's a mixed bag of a lot of different things that go into it. But let me just speak in generalities here as far as tentative numbers. So let's just say, if you're under 50 years old, you could get $500,000 in life insurance, for any particular purpose, for a good 20 years-ish, maybe a little more, maybe a little less, for under $100 a month. It's a very reasonable thing to consider. I mean, so really, in the grand scheme of things, what we're talking about here is for the majority of people, for less than $100 a month, your business continuation plan is funded and secured. I mean, it can be more, it can be less. I mean, of course, but just use that as a base point. $100 a month, $1,200 a year. It's really not a lot of money when you're dealing with a business that has hundreds of thousands of dollars going into it, over the course of the year. I mean, we're talking pennies here to secure your your livelihood, your future. It's really that simple. So that's enough on cost. It is what it is. If you'd like a little bit more of an exact number, you can always reach out to me. I believe there's a form at the bottom of the blog that this podcast is attached to, or you could always email me at jameshforlife@gmail.com, and I'd be more than happy just to have a more in-depth conversation with you, either myself or one of my agents, and we'll definitely dialogue to see what we can do to better help you and establish you in your business. So let's go to the next topic here. Who in the world is paying for this? So as a business owner, self-employed, 1099, you want to write off every business expense that you can. Because you don't want to pay the taxes on as much of your yearly income as possible. So one of the initial things to do is, okay, well, I'll take whatever I'm paying in my premium and I'll just have the business pay for it and I'll write it off. In the majority of cases, I would say that is the worst thing that you can do, and this is why. It is almost always best. I'll say it's almost always best. I'm sure there's always a situation where it would work better in the other way. But for the majority of business owners, it's going to be in your best interest for you to own your contract yourself and pay for it out of your income to show that it's coming out of your income and do not write it off as a business expense. This is why. In the event that, let's say you do that, you're paying into this policy for X number of years, and during that time frame you're claiming it as a tax write-off. In the event that you were to die and that policy were to pay out and your business continuation plan is executed, all of the proceeds of the life insurance policy can now be taxable. So you spent, let's say, $1,200, $2,000, $3,000 a year for a few years, and you got the tax write-off for that. So you saved a little bit up front. Now you have a check coming in at $500,000, $1 million, whatever that number is. And that entire amount is subject to income tax because you were claiming the premium as a tax write-off. You don't want to do that. You do not want to mess up your business continuation plan for a very small savings because the premiums aren't going to be gigantic. It's not like it's a $20,000 or $30,000 premium. We're talking one or two at most. In many instances, you're not going to see more than $3,000, and that's if you have a pretty substantial business that we need to protect. I mean, that's not even most cases. Most policies are going to be closer to $100 a month or less. So there's no advantage for the majority of business owners writing it off as a tax write-off, unless you want to play Russian roulette and pray that you don't die and this policy doesn't pay out, leaving a pretty nasty tax problem for your heirs that are going to be dealing with your estate. So that's why I definitely wouldn't do that for most cases. Just own your own policy, pay for it yourself. Now, the final topic I wanted to get into is for all of those who are listening who are not partners in any business, you are the business. It's a one-man wrecking crew, or maybe not a one-man wrecking crew, but you are the only owner. You don't have to share your business with anybody when you die. Maybe the business isn't going anywhere, going to anyone, whatever the situation is. But the point is, you don't feel that there'd be any need to buy a life insurance policy on yourself to for the purpose of the business. So there's a couple of things that can happen when the sole proprietor dies, and we'll get into that. So the first is with the executor. The executor can make one of a couple of different choices regarding your business. So the first is the executor can temporarily continue your business. So your executor can choose to continue the business for a time. The problem is that can create several unique challenges. Number one, your executor, they may not be familiar with your business. there can be some loss of goodwill, you know, between your customer base and now this executor, because they don't know who the executor is, and now they're running the show. Well, you know, as an owner, and you know, you brand yourself and your business in such a way that it can develop a relationship with your customers, and one of the only reasons why they continue to do business with you is because of you. If there's no more you, well, some of your business can drop off. Just as an example here, in churches that I've attended over the years, I've seen a couple of different pastoral changes. One of which, pastor was at my church for 31 years, and when he left, and he was a very good pastor, very well respected in our community. I mean, they allowed him to ride in the front of the Christmas parade in West Cape May, you know, the year that he retired, just as an honor to him because he was that well respected in our community and that well loved. But after he left and the new pastor came in, we had people just drop off and stop attending the church for no other reason than the previous pastor wasn't there anymore. It just happens. So that's what I mean by loss of goodwill. Like, when you are no longer part of the show, there's going to be a portion of your business that may not come back because you were the reason why they were there. So the executor may not be familiar with the business. There can be loss of goodwill. The executor may be liable for any business losses. So now if the executor is becoming essentially you in many ways when it comes to this business. If there's any losses, they have to be, they're held liable. Creditors want to be, if you're in debt, if you owe money to anybody with your business, they're going to want to be paid right away. They're not going to want to stretch it out in this long, drawn-out process. They want their money, and they want it right then and there. If the owner dies, they want their money because that business could fold up, and they don't want to be out for however much they've loaned you. And then the subsequent sale of the business, it may bring in less than the value determined for federal estate tax purposes. So in short, your executor could keep the business open for a time and then try and sell it. But if he's trying to keep it open to reclaim value and stuff, he may not get the full value of the business. He just may not. So there could be a loss, an unintentional depreciation of value in the business. Another option that the executor can do is he could just simply shut the business down. So the first is he could keep it open temporarily. He may not know much about the business, loss of goodwill, may not get the full sale price for the business. Creditors want to be paid right away, and the executor can be liable for any business losses. If he chooses to just shut the business down, the problems here can be loyal employees, they're now out of work. The family income stops. Accounts receivable may be very difficult to collect, so if anybody owes you money, good luck getting it. And then the estate may only receive a minimal value for the business. Again, you're not going to get the full Monty for the value of the business because now the doors are shut, so there's definitely no income coming in right now. So that just really hurts you as well. Third option, the executor can choose to transfer the business by will to the heirs of the deceased owner. So the problem here is your heirs may not want it. They may not want the business at all. The heirs can also have conflicting interests. It's not uncommon that that happens. Again, the loss of goodwill because you're no longer part of the business. You're not the one running the show. The business may have to be sold to pay the taxes and expenses. So there might be estate considerations in play here that would require the business to be sold, that your heirs could get stuck with. Again, creditors still want to be paid right away, and accounts receivable, good luck getting them if you go to transfer the business to somebody else. And finally, the executor could choose just to straight up sell the business. And the possible disadvantages here are buyers may only pay a fraction of the going concern value, meaning, you know, the owner just died, and so now the entire business entity has been shaken up. So there might be some, there's a degree of risk there. people buying the business didn't have an opportunity to sit down and talk with the owner and really do their homework and find out what they're getting themselves into, so they may not necessarily pay the full price for it. Again, creditors still want to be paid right away. Accounts receivable may be hard to collect. Family income is now eliminated once the business is sold. And also, the business may not sell right away. So as an example for this, there's a Rita's Water Ice in the area down by where I live in New Jersey that was on the market to be sold for about 3 years, I think it was. Yeah, it was about 3 or 4 years that the previous owners were trying to get rid of this business. Now, this Rita's was pretty popular. It's not like they never had customers. I mean, you know, during the warm months, they were pretty busy, and they did pretty well for themselves. Just nobody was buying. Nobody wanted to invest in that business. It just got sold this past spring. And the only reason why it got sold is because the owners or whoever, I mean, I'm not sure if the previous owners died or if they just wanted to get out of the business and retire, but the previous owners, they dropped the price so significantly, you couldn't help. Like, if you were looking to get into any kind of business, if you knew something about water ice and customer service, like, this was your opportunity. I mean, they dropped it to $150,000. Where they started at $250,000 when they tried selling it originally. Property's in good condition. It's a strong business, well established. They had to sacrifice $100,000 and about 3 or 4 years worth of time before the business finally got sold. So, long and short is, there are several options that can happen even if you are the only owner in a business. But they all bring with them several challenges that may or may not be conducive to your family and also your particular financial situation or your financial objectives that in your business continuation plan, you want to make sure that A, B, and C are done, and the options that I just presented that your executor can follow through with may or may not solidify or ensure that those objectives are met. So what can you do as a solution to this? Well, you can get a buy-sell agreement, number one. I mean, you need that legal framework. You need to set it up with your lawyers to make sure that your business continuation plan is, number one, spelled out legally so that everybody knows what needs to happen in the event that you die. Two, you also want to fund it with life insurance, because all of the financial considerations, like if you've got business debt, if you need to get continue income to your family, if you want to make sure that you can keep your business open for a time so that you can continue paying your employees and buy an adjustment period time or whatever, or buy time to keep them working and fund the business while you look to have the business change hands, whatever the case may be. Life insurance is a very inexpensive way to mitigate a lot of the potential problems, regardless of what your answer would be, whether you're selling it, shutting it down, transferring it to someone else, or just selling it or just getting rid of the business or try and keep it open temporarily. Whatever your particular option is, life insurance will at the very least buy you a comfortable amount of time to keep the business open so that you can make a good decision and give the time needed for certain things to happen, whether you're selling it or whatever. So that's if you're a sole proprietor, if you're the only business owner, life insurance still makes sense as a great business decision. So moving forward, what do we do? Well, moving forward, if you haven't spoken to any legal counsel about a buy-sell agreement or any kind of business continuation documents, I would certainly do that. And then I would also reach out to, say, someone like myself. Again, you can email me at jameshforlife@gmail.com, or you can fill out the form at the bottom of my blog post. If you'd like a quote or like to discuss things further, you can always fill it out. And we will design a life insurance policy that will match what your business continuation plan is, so that you're only paying for the protection that you need to solidify and lock in the results that you want. I'm not about over-insuring people or selling you stuff that you don't need. I think that's unprofessional. However, I think it is highly recommended and highly valuable to have a life insurance policy that matches the demands of your buy sell or business continuation plans. So I would encourage you reach out, get the information you need, get the quotes, get the protection. Don't wait. Literally one doctor's visit can change your entire eligibility status for either disability or life insurance. So do it while you have today, do it while your health is still, good, and everything is affordable, and then you can still get the coverage because, again, life insurance is not a guaranteed coverage. Well, guys, listen, I really appreciate you taking the time to listen to me today. You've been listening to James H. for Life, your premier podcast for all things life, disability, and long-term care insurance related. If you have additional questions, as always, you can email me at jameshforlife@gmail.com. For more information on life insurance or disability insurance, please check out my blog at jameshforlife@gmail.com. Or not, that's my email, excuse me, jameshforlife.com is just my blog post, I apologize. So just jameshforlife.com for the blog, jameshforlife@gmail.com for my email, and if you're on my blog already and you see a form at the bottom, if you would like a quote, or if you'd like to discuss numbers further, please fill out the form and click the submit button, and either myself or one of my agents, we will work to reach out to you within one business day of the receipt. And again, just so everybody knows, as always, whenever you submit your information to us, nobody else gets your information. It stays solely with myself or my agents. We don't sell your information. We don't share your information. We're not interested in any of that. We simply just use it to contact you just to have a further discussion. So again, please contact us for more information. Other than that, I hope you have a great day and stay safe. We'll talk to you next time.